That's how it really works. So let's move on here. I left Hawaii and came to Powhatan. I used to meet people out in Powhatan. They say, "Well, I've never seen you around here before." I said, "No, I'm new." He says, "Where'd you come from?" I said, "Hawaii," and they looked at me, "Why?" And then I explained to them, and they didn't understand that either. But anyway, I came to Hawaii to run a recruiting tour called Night of Missions. I had 35 cities that I coordinated east of the Mississippi River, and we did a meeting recruiting short-term young adult missionaries to go on a short-term mission project. That picture on the right, that's when we were in Suffern, New York. They didn't suffer too much in Suffern, believe me. It's a bedroom community. And of course, you see, I've got hair and a mustache and stonewashed jeans, the blast from the past. But anyway, I had a person that I worked with to coordinate locally in each of these 35 cities. And I had this couple from Charlotte. And this couple really liked YWAM. It made you really sort of uncomfortable because they sort of looked at you a little higher than you knew you really were, you know? I mean, you sort of got the feeling that they thought if you got cut, you weren't going to bleed, you know? So they came to Rock Castle. That's the YWAM facility there. It's falling apart right now. And for a strategy meeting one weekend. So we met on Saturday and Sunday. They were going to go to church with me. So they came over to our little apartment and we were going to have breakfast together. So I don't know about your kids, you guys have had kids, but my kids can have been really good all week, but they sort of get that Sunday morning demon where they didn't want to really be cooperative and you're trying to do all these things and get all these things done. So my daughter was a really good girl, but you know, she just wasn't sort of listening very well that day. And so I was trying to run back and forth and, you know, take care of three or four things. And so finally she did something and I just let her at it, you know. And I knew I was wrong right away. And I sat her down and I apologized to her. And you know how kids are. They're so good about that and they forgive. But then my bedroom where I was with my daughter was right off the kitchen. And I thought, oh my goodness, I wonder if they heard. And I thought, I bet they think I bleed if I get cut now. And so I went out to the breakfast. And it was a very uncomfortable breakfast because you sort of didn't want to look them in the eye because you didn't want to get that look. How could you do that? So, you know, sort of like your kids, you know, you said, "Look at me," you know, because you want them to look at you because you want them to know that what they did wasn't right, you know. So I went back into the bedroom after breakfast and I told the Lord, "Lord, this is not going to work all day like this." I said, "I can't keep from looking them in the eye any longer." So I felt like I was to just tell them what happened and ask them to pray for me. So I, at lunch after church, before we prayed, I said, "I don't know whether you guys heard or not, but I really lost it with my daughter." I said, I wasn't handling stress that well. "Would you pray for me?" This guy got this big smile on his face. And I said, "Is he laughing at me?" And then I looked, and it wasn't that kind of smile. And he said, "That's what we like about you, YWAMers. You have the rhema." He was one of these rhema guys. Rhema this, rhema that. He says, "You got the rhema in this area of openness." And it exploded on my mind that morning. What I wanted to hide is what he liked about me. See, the devil lies to us. The people that matter, if you are known for who you really are and your strengths and your weaknesses, they honor you. Now, the world will mock you, but who cares about the world? The people who have the Spirit of God in them will honor you if you walk in humility. And I learned that day, and I've tried to walk in that, not perfectly, because you always, like I said, no one wants to be known in their weakness. But if you don't, it doesn't really work. Okay? Now, this is Jimmy Swaggart, and most of you know, and it's a picture of a long time ago. I think he's 89 now. And I'll make the story short. And I don't bring this up to bring condemnation on anyone. Matter of fact, what I'm going to say, I think, might make you understand him a little more. He fell several times. He had demons. He had some demons that he just wasn't dealing with. And one day I was going through the channels on Sunday morning. Sometimes I go through the channels and see who I can see. And he was on there. And he was crying. And he said something like this. He says, I had these things that I just couldn't control. And I had so many people looking to me. And I didn't want to disappoint them. So I couldn't let it be known. And I wasn't strong enough to do it myself. He was trying to give God what he didn't want, which is human strength. And he said, I was in my place there in his ministry, and I started feel these things come over me. And he says, I went and I got several guys. I said, guys, I'm falling again. Pray for me. And he said, I got the victory. And he had an incredulous look on his face. He said, it was so easy. It was so easy, but he missed it. He missed it because he didn't understand what God wanted from him. He didn't want his strength. He wanted his honesty. And what he did is he was known for who he really was. I'm falling. Help me. And when you open yourself up in humility, God moves, because God is committed to humility in our lives. Ooh, I'm after 12. I got to finish quickly. Oh, move on. All right, so what's the takeaway today? Is it, look at Ken, your humble servant. If you think that, I failed miserably this morning, because that's opposite of what I wanted to say. If you think you've arrived, somewhere along your journey, you've made a wrong turn. Because we never arrive. Pride into the world and Adam and Eve. They chose their way instead of God's. And we have inherited this tendency. This is called original sin. Now we have come to the cross. And we have, our penalty has been canceled. But now we're walking in not the penalty of sin, but we're walking to cancel sin in our life. called sanctification. It's a process. I think one of the problems in the early charismatic movement is we emphasized just the gifts of the Spirit and not the fruits. The gifts are bestowed. They're important. The church was missing them. But the fruits are grown. Takes time. Takes fertilizing. Takes humility. And even though we've been forgiven, we can still choose to do it our way instead of God's. That's what Jimmy Swaggart was trying to do. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And that root of pride can always raise its ugly head. But the good news is that no matter how much that pride tries to raise its ugly head, there it cannot stand against a greater amount of humility. Humility is always the way out. What does humility look like? It looks like Jesus. It looks like Jesus. You know the prayer that I prayed this morning? Lord, help them to look past me and see you. And help me not to get in the way too much. Because Jesus is our example. He is humility. And look at what he's doing. This is the last significant interaction he's going to have with his disciples. If it was me, I would probably try to do a great teaching. He did. If it was someone else, they may have tried to do a great miracle. He did. What did he do? He took that towel and he washed his disciples' feet. The last thing he wanted them to remember was that the greatest always assumes the heart attitude of the least. And the way up in God's kingdom is always down. That's what he was saying. That's what he wanted us to remember. He wanted to give us something that would not only change the world, but change us. Think about the overriding theme of my stories. It was God was right and I was wrong. Because God is always right. Even when we don't understand it, he's always right. Humility is simple. It's just being honest about ourselves. But it's not easy. You know, there's a difference between simple and easy. Something can be simple, but not easy. Because no one likes being wrong. At least I don't. I assume most of you don't. Maybe some of you are more humble than me. I don't know. This is what humility looks like. Serving. And I don't care whether you're on a chicken farm or in the halls of Congress. It's the attitude of heart that you're putting and honoring God first and then others. David was that kind of leader. That's why people loved to serve with David. Because he had flaws, big flaws. But he was humble. He come clean. He said, I've messed up. You see, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just expects us to know that we're not. You see, if you're moving in pride, people know it. Any group I've ever been in, when a person has a problem with pride, people know. They may not have the handle to put on it. And when that person comes clean and realizes it, they're not happy that he's wrong. They're just happy that he knows. That he realizes he's a sinner in need of grace. How many times have I said that in communion? More times than you want to remember, right? All right. In conclusion, my daughters used to say, I concluded five times. How does this work? Seek God. Seek God. Because the greater you seek God and know God, the greater will probably be your humility. Because the closer you come to God, the more you're going to recognize how far you have to go. The people who don't seek God, they think they're pretty much there. What do they need? But the closer you come to God, you see his greatness and you understand how far you have to go. And you say, oh, wretched man that I am. And that was not, is it not always bad to say? When we come to the place where we realize that the more you know about God, the more there is to know, you're on the path to humility. But remember, we never arrive. Until we see Jesus. That great and glorious day, we will see him as he really is. You know, most of the Christian life is like two steps forward and one step backwards. But you know, that's okay. That's okay, because you're still moving forward. Now, if you're going one step forward and two step backwards, you're at a problem because you're backsliding. See, we try to give Jesus what he doesn't want. The Bible says when you're weak, then you're strong. And when Jimmy Swaggart recognized that he needed to be weak, that's when he became strong. The Bible is full of contradictions like that. That when the world hears them, they say, what are they talking about? So, you get it as a byproduct. I can't give you a step-by-step. But the best way that you can get it, purpose in your heart to serve and watch what God does. Because there's just something about when we bow our knee, and usually in service there's always some form of bowing your knee, serving others. You know, people want to be leaders. You know, I was a leader. It's not always cracked up to be. You spend all your time, well, not all your time. You spend a lot of your time taking care of other people's problems. If you're not humble, you don't want to be a leader. Because you want all your problems taken care of. But that's not how it works. That's why servant leadership is so important. So humility is not being a doormat. Humility is just being who we are in our strengths and our weaknesses and honoring each other, honoring the gifts, honoring the things that we might disagree about. And that will bring unity. A church that is not moving in humility is not going to have unity. I don't care if you have a good purpose, a good, statement of purpose. Have all those things. But you've got to be one in heart. And that's a process. At least it was with me.